Appreciate everybody staying here. I just have a couple opening comments, and then we'll throw it open for questions. I guess I'd make 3 points out of what came out of our delegate session, and one, since the farm bill's being teed up again to take care of in 2013, we basically reaffirmed support for the position we had. We did not have really substantive debate about change in policy position. We changed a few words, but we still retain a lot of flexibility to adjust to whatever the process comes up with, and at the same time, you know, I think we can influence the process by crafting some maybe some revisions or changes, you know, to some of the policies that make it closer to the principles that we've laid out. Immigration is going to, hopefully, we believe, be or have an opportunity to be considered in this Congress earlier, better than later. And our policy, our delegates, you know, voted to basically do what we're already trying to do with the Agricultural Workforce Coalition, and that's figuring out a way to replace and or streamline the current 2A seasonal and temporary program, and at the same time bring a lot of those that have been in the shadows with false documents and are not here legally out of the shadows and provide them opportunity through visa to work either at will or in contract employment. Now, the reality is we're only going to solve this with comprehensive immigration reform, but we certainly want to include our agricultural guest worker piece of that that's critical to U.S. agriculture. I talked in my speech a lot about regulatory policy, and our delegates actually reaffirmed a lot of our longstanding positions that all federal agencies should be held to the strictest interpretation of the law and that federal agencies shouldn't legislate through regulatory change. And they really reaffirmed that. And they also included this time that there's a concern about using aerial surveillance or satellite or aerial imagery for enforcement actions, and we're opposed to that happening. So y'all sat in there and listened to the rest of the discussion. The floor is open for questions. Yeah, don't everybody talk at once? Come on, Jerry. Or I can see you're just itching. I don't know if I can remember more than one at a time, but go right, ahead, Jerry. Right, go ahead.
Okay, you can, no, you can just take them one at a time if you like. Okay, Hagel.
Well, we don't have, you know, we haven't established any official endorsement process of Senator Hagel to be Secretary of Defense. We had a good working relationship with him when he was in the Senate. He does understand rural America, and to the extent that the military is, you know, trying to incorporate renewable fuels, I think he would. I'm not sure what he would do at the end of the day, to be honest. You know, a lot of this is speculative in terms of how he would be as Secretary of Defense, but in terms of a position of AFBF. You know, we would, I think, support the choices. We generally support the choices of the president to name their cabinet members.
Second question. U.S. Speaker yesterday, Mark Kelly, who didn't really talk about gun control during his speech, but he did talk about it during the when he met with the press, generally said he was favorable to the recommendations that Vice President Biden had made, which President Obama was talking about yesterday. This is obviously a very sensitive issue in rural America. Do you have any views on how the President and Congress should handle the gun control issue?
Well, our policy at AFBF is very clear. We support the Second Amendment. We don't support any additional restrictions or laws regarding gun ownership. And well, I think we have some provisions about not restricting the sales of ammunition, and also we feel very strongly that current law should be enforced. You know, one of the biggest concerns I think we have is that while laws are being written and written some more, if you don't enforce the laws, they're not going to have much effect. So that's our AFBF policy.
Okay. Third point is that you had a delegate from Hawaii today who stood up and suggested, a gay delegate, who suggested that the Farm Bureau should change its policy and its family and moral responsibility provision. A number of reporters talked to him afterwards, and he said he got an outpouring of support from other people. It was voted down, but do you have any views on where this might go in the future?
No, I really don't. Scott had a proposal to put before this delegate body. He stood up, frankly, very courageously and did that, and the delegates made a decision not to change our policy.
Just we'll say he says that he's afraid that the current policy keeps some people away from Farm Bureau. Is that a concern?
Well, I don't want to keep anyone away from Farm Bureau, and I have no way of knowing really whether it has or it hasn't, to be honest. But our delegates were clear in that they maintained support for our current policy.
Thank you.
You've got in Kentucky, the agriculture commissioner up there is advocating for the state legislature to legalize industrial hemp, and you've seen that movement, I think, on that front in the past in other states like North Dakota. Does the American Farm Bureau have a position on industrial hemp and like the federal government's like stand towards that?
We removed that. We used to, but we don't anymore. We did have a policy opposing the use of industrial hemp for many years, and I think we're neutral on the issue now, if I remember correctly, Mark. We haven't discussed it in the past several annual meetings.
What's going to happen when you talk about how the Farm Bureau, through the delegate's action today, putting its weight behind immigration reform? But what happens then? It's early in the congressional session. Considering that we have a fiscal cliff coming around again one more time, debt limit arguments, budget, is there not room, enough space in the room for an immigration reform debate as well?
Well, I guess, that's like crystal ball gazing. I'm not sure. I hope so. Now, granted, the issues surrounding the debt limit increase, the sequestration, date that kicks in, and the continuing resolution, all of those are going to fully occupy our United States Congress. Now, to what extent do they have room for other issues? I don't know. We're talking with members of Congress now on the immigration reform issue, and some of them are very eager to move ahead. So what's going to happen is, from our standpoint, we're going to continue to work through the Agricultural Workforce Coalition. We're going to continue to meet with members of Congress as this issue starts to unfold and try to be sure that the positions that or the legislation that's proposed incorporates our need to have an adequate agricultural guest worker program. We'll see how the cards play out. I don't know. That's pretty unpredictable. But, there are plenty of members right now that are already thinking about this.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about what an adequate guest worker program actually looks like? Kind of articulate that a little bit.
Well, from our standpoint, number one, the H-2A program is not an adequate guest worker program. That's number one. Number two, we have, we don't know how many, anywhere from 500,000 to 900,000 probably migrant workers working in agriculture who have, while they have documentation, the documentation is false. And so they're in the shadows, sort of. And so what we think an adequate guest worker program needs is we need to be able to provide a market-based at-will employment or contract employment with workers who have visas, who are here legally, who are out of the shadows, if you will, but have visas that allow them to work in agriculture. We need two key principles we need is one, portability, and that gets to this at-will provision where, a worker, just like a domestic worker, you can work for an employer, an ag employer, and, either if you're not happy there, you can maybe get higher pay somewhere else. You have the ability to use that visa to work for another employer. That's the portability. You also we have a requirement for future flow. Those going back to 1986, we realized what happened where we provided upgraded people who were here illegally to a legal status. Those workers left agriculture, and then there was no future flow. Well, that future flow was accommodated through the workers that continually come across the border that want a place to work, make some money, and they'll send it back home, generally to Mexico, but to some other countries too. And so portability, future flow, having the ability to be at will and or contract for those growers who need the certainty of a contract situation, and then also do that in a manner then that's out in the open where the workers have the type of, from the worker welfare standpoint, if you will, they have the types of protections that they would need to be sure that, they have the same opportunities as domestic workers to work and earn a wage.
What is permanent legal status? Does that mean a green card? Citizenship?
I don't know. You know, everybody's talking. I don't know what permanent legal status means. I mean, depends on your definition. You know, if you have a visa that allows you to be in here, that's a legal status. Permanent legal status, I don't know. Citizenship is permanent legal status. I don't know that that's clearly defined, to be honest. What we're talking about for our program is a visa, where these workers go through a process. They get a visa, and then that visa allows them to work in agriculture either on an at-will basis or a contract basis. So I don't...
Okay, but what about the undocumented workers? The proposal you have says that if they work a specified number of days for several years, they would then have the chance to have permanent legal status. At this point, fair to tell people you can put in several more years of work and you'll get a visa that would require you to leave after 11 months?
Well, those provisions haven't been, detailed yet. What it indicates to me is that the goal of us crafting a program is to provide a legal status, and in some cases that may be a path to, get a green card and go through that path for those who want to pursue maybe citizenship, or maybe they just want a green card and don't want to pursue citizenship. So, I don't know that I would dwell too much on what permanent legal status means at this point, because that will be the very specific elements of how the visas operate within the program and what path it allows these workers with these visas to have, going forward.
Thank you.
Secretary Vilsack came. The other day, he wasn't even officially appointed yet by the president. Can you make a comment now that he has officially been appointed secretary again? What does that mean to the American farmer?
Well, we're very satisfied with that. I talked with Secretary Vilsack pretty soon after the election, and I expressed my hope. I was trying to get him to tell me whether he thought he was going to stay or not, and I expressed my hope that he would. We have had a very good working relationship with him as a Secretary of Agriculture and the department itself. I have every expectation that will continue, and when I got the official word that he had the president had said he would continue, I was very pleased.
So the EPA, we got an opening there. I know that Secretary Vilsack was very open with Director Jackson, and will the American Farm Bureau be a part of the welcome wagon, so to speak, with him when the new EPA director comes in?
Well, we're going to do what we always do, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican administration. We're going to, anytime there's a new cabinet member, we reach out, try to develop a working relationship, try to explain the issues that are important to agriculture. I did that with Lisa Jackson when she first came into office, and we'll continue to do that. Now, I don't know who that individual will be. The issues are going to all be pretty much the same as they are now, no matter who the individual is. And so we will continue as an organization, though, to reach out and create those kind of relationships that you need when you're, working in these arenas.
Were there any changes or additions to policy today that you kind of thought were maybe a standout or even perhaps surprising or anything?
We had probably more conversation about pasteurized or unpasteurized milk than I was expecting. The outcome didn't particularly surprise me. From a policy standpoint, we did not have a lot of controversial within our membership anyway, discussions on issues today. We reaffirmed a lot of things, which is important. People tend to downplay that we have a delegate session and don't come up with some kind of new big policy that makes news. The fact that we reaffirm policy that's in place is just as important, because every year it's a fresh slate. We start over every year, in essence. We may keep the same policies, but the fact that they're reaffirmed is an important statement in itself.
I don't have the exact language in front of me, but they adopted an amendment to support individual commodity groups if they supported federal mandates. I'm assuming it had to do with the UEP, HSUS housing, because it was in that section. Does that mean opinion is sort of shifting? Or did I get that wrong?
And I don't have the language in front of me either. I think I remember us putting voluntary in there. We support,
federal.
It wasn't. We didn't support federal law. We supported voluntary efforts for commodity groups to create these standards. And that's, frankly, that's been a long-held position of ours. We just kind of specified it, I guess, a little clearer today.
How optimistic are you leaving Nashville with this convention going into this year?
Optimistic? I'm always optimistic. I'm a farmer. I think we have a lot of opportunities in this coming year to make progress on issues that we have struggled with for a long time. I'd say immigration is one of those. I'm optimistic that we will get a farm bill. And I have to be optimistic that we're going to resolve the big fiscal issues that this country faces, at least to the extent where the markets accept it.
You had mentioned in your speech, and I actually wasn't in attendance, so I don't know, maybe it was obvious in the delivery, but you used the term jackass stubbornness. Was that directed at Democrats or in particular?
That was directed in a very general sense. Farmers and ranchers know just how stubborn jackasses are. So my point was, some of the debate and the conflict we have in this country, and I'll spread it universally, there's a lot of stubbornness there, and I was characterizing the degree of that stubbornness.
Not particularly at the Democrat mascot.
No, I was not characterizing any party or any individual member of Congress. That was a generic use of the word to indicate the degree of stubbornness that exists out there.
Sarah's got a question, and we're done.
Okay, sir.
Just to clarify your commodity title policy, will you be telling lawmakers that SRRP is still the focus, but we want options, or we want options if we can't get the systemic risk? How do you characterize the ask?
Well, number one, we reaffirmed where we were, and where we are, the SCO has been sort of a deep loss program, okay? So we're more positive about that than, say, we are the shallow loss. We have concerns about the shallow loss program, so we will be expressing what those concerns are as we move forward. We have said that we want to, while we recognize that there's a pretty general tendency to want to do away with the direct payments, although we're keeping them for 2013, that we don't want to lose all those funds. We want to transfer those funds into a risk management or safety net programs that continue to help agriculture. So, we're not going to be promoting, we're not going to be drawing a line in the sand and promoting a single, position. What we're going to do is basically what we did as the process unfolded in 2012, work with both of the committees to sort of craft or adjust some of the provisions that are in there, with the ultimate goal of getting a 5-year farm bill. Thank y'all. Appreciate you being here. Safe travels home, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you during the course of the year.